miracle is a divine appointment. It is the time when God connects, uses us as a link, and connects through us to other people. There was a man in Fresno, California this past week. You probably heard about it on the news. His name was Victor Perez. And he was unemployed and sitting on his front porch watching TV. And he saw the news report of a little girl who had been abducted by a man driving a big pickup truck. And the police had a little videotape of the pickup truck. And he saw what this pickup truck looked like. And he was sitting out on his porch, and suddenly a pickup truck just like it drove by in front of his house. So he got up and got in his truck and set and followed it. And he tried to cut off the truck once, and the truck got around and went again. And then he saw the little girl's head pop up. So he cut that one off a second time, and the driver of the pickup truck pushed the little girl out of the car, and he went and he stood by the little girl. This is what grabbed me by that story. He said, "I am so glad that God had me in the right place at the right time to do some good and to help." He gave the glory to God on the news. And it was a divine appointment. How many people would be sitting on their porch looking at TV, unemployed, and see the very situation go right in front of their house? It was an amazing thing, and God really did reach down and rescue that child. And one of the things is because someone else was paying attention and was willing to be the link between God and earth. You see, this is a quote. I wrote it down. I don't know where I got it from, but I wrote it. I loved it. I stuck it in my Bible. And so this is it. God is not looking for great people. He is looking for ordinary people he can do great things through. A few years ago, a man named Bruce Wilkerson wrote a book called The Prayer of Jabez. And I don't know if you've read it. It's a great little book. It's just about ways that ordinary people can expand how they serve the Lord. And there's a prayer in there, and he divides it up into parts. And the first part of the prayer is, "Bless me." And it says it's okay to pray that God would bless me. And then after God blesses me, increase my territory. When God increases our territory, there's only one thing we need more, and that's his help to take care of the territory. And then to protect me from evil. So Jabez was a man that he was, his name, I forget what it means, but it's something like weeping child, because his mother was depressed. And he didn't want to be his name. He wanted to be for God more than that. So it was, "Bless me, increase my territory, keep your hand upon me, and protect me from evil." Then Bruce Wilkinson wrote a new book called You Were Born for This. It's just really fresh on the press. And this book takes it a step beyond and puts a little formula together for us to see how we can be more available for God's opportunities. I just want to read you a little story in here that he wrote. It's great. And thank you for the water. And he is on a plane, this guy Bruce, and he's finishing up a manuscript for another book. And he knows he's behind and he needs this plane ride to finish up the manuscript. So he gets himself a seat in business class right by the window. There's no one sitting next to him. He thinks this is great. He doesn't really want God to use him today on this plane flight because he wants to get his work done. And a few minutes later, he notices a young man coming onto the plane. And the man has hair of all different colors. And he's got metal all over his ears and in his face and everywhere on his body. and he's clearly had way, way too much to drink. And Bruce looks up and says, God, please don't let him sit next to me because I want to get my work done. And so, what do you think? The guy comes up and he smells so strong of alcohol that to even breathe in his face, you think that you're going to become intoxicated yourself. And he says to Bruce, hey, I think this seat is mine. And Bruce says, yes, sir, I wondered if it would be. Once seated, he called a rainbow metal man, accepted a drink from the flight attendant. Then he wanted to talk to me. We traded chit-chat for a few minutes, then I made my move. A not too subtle turning of my attention back to my work. He made his move too. He ordered another drink. And then Bruce begins proofreading his work, and he's reading about Jabez, and about Jabez wanted to serve God more, and so he's feeling a little guilty that he's been ignoring this person sitting next to him. So he finally says, okay, Lord, if you want me to talk to this guy, all right, I will talk to him. But let him be the first one to start the conversation. So then Metal Man spoke up and he said, that's a blankety blank good book. And Bruce said, uh-huh, you think so? He said he didn't know what to say because this was the first time he ever heard a person swear at one of his books in his presence. And so he said to the guy, how do you know that? And then there's the more explicatives. He says, I've been reading it over your shoulder. I nodded, trying not to get tipsy from the fumes. But I have an important question, he announced. Are you a priest? Where on earth did that come from, I wondered. I wasn't wearing a black clothing or a clerical collar or a cross. I was about to say no when a verse flashed into my mind. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim his praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And in the Reformed tradition, we are all priests. We all are the priesthood. So he said, yes, I guess you could say I'm a priest. But what makes you ask? I turned to him, and by the way, I'm Bruce. Rainbow Metal Man was actually named Gary. He settled back into his seat, took a deep breath, and then told Bruce exactly why God had sat him in that seat. I'm flying to Hollywood, because I'm in charge of a sold-out rock concert at the Rose Bowl, he said. My best friend in the world was in an accident yesterday. He was killed. I'm so sorry, I said. Gary sat in silence a moment. You know, when I went over and saw him dead, I couldn't help thinking, if that were me, I don't know where I'd go after I die. He looked at me with bleary eyes. I couldn't sleep all night. On the way to the airport, I said to God, if you are there, please send me a priest. I laid aside my work, picked up my miracle assignment. How can I help you, Gary? I asked. God has continually created humanity to have a relationship with us. From the very beginning, he wanted to have a relationship with Adam and Eve. And you know all through the Bible, he continually tries to reach out to the Israelites all the time. And finally, he sends Jesus to earth to model the Father's own work. And Jesus intervened in many people's lives. You know, he saw Zacchaeus up in a tree and knew that he needed attention. And he forgave people and he healed people and he was a miracle worker on earth. Bruce Wilkinson writes, God is so intent on meeting people's deepest needs that he is always looking for volunteers who will become living links between heaven and earth, partnering with God for miracles. God passionately desires to show himself strong, for you and through you, because every person you meet has a significant need that only God can meet. God's people today don't necessarily trust institutions anymore. And a lot of times when you're out there among people, as it says in the Bible, you could be the only Bible they would ever read. A friend of mine was at the grocery store, and God had been prompting her from time to time to call people up, to say things to them, and she had tried. Once she said no, and one time she said she saw this at the grocery store, she saw a teenage girl bagging the groceries. And after she paid her bill, she said to the girl, "I just want to tell you that God loves you." And the girl burst into tears. The manager came over to find out what was going on. The young girl said, "This morning I was so depressed that I told God if he didn't do something, if he didn't let me know that he was here, I was going home to take my life." And so here was this moment, this God-linked moment. One of the patients I visit as a hospice chaplain, I get to see this. This book touched me a lot because I do this for my work. I go and see people all the time who are dying and their families. And sometimes God chose me somehow. I get to be one of the last links between heaven and earth before someone passes away. And it doesn't always happen, and the Holy Spirit doesn't, it doesn't always work. But once in a while, God really shows up, and there's a beautiful connection where God has used me to be the link between heaven and earth. I was visiting a lady who was 95 years old. She's blind. She lays down in her bed or a chair all day. That's all she does. And one day a man called her house, strong, Baptist, beautiful Christian lady. A man called her house, his name was George, and wanted to speak to her daughter. Her daughter wasn't home. So Ruby talked to him instead. He said, "Oh, I've heard so much about you," because Ruby had adopted this daughter. She wasn't her natural child. She just adopted her and raised her. So now the daughter was taking care of Ruby in her old age. So they chatted. A few weeks later, George tried to find the daughter again by phone, and the daughter wasn't home again. So George talked to Ruby again. He said he was 80 years old, and that he hadn't been to church in a long time. And she said to him, "George, what are you waiting for?" And as they talked some more, she just talked to him, the Holy Spirit took over and gave her the words to say. A few weeks later, he called back, this time for Ruby. He said, "I went back to church, I made a new commitment to God, and it was all because of the words that you said to me on the phone." Now, if God can use a lady stuck in the bed, in her home, isolated, to witness to God's love and to share God's love, how much more does he want to use you and me who are getting around and out there with people? And when God wants us to do something, it's such a joy and such a thrill to be able to be that link. Because we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. But we don't want to miss those God things. And sometimes we can miss them by trying to do good things, good deeds, rather than growing in our relationship with God and allowing God to do things through us. So there's kind of a difference. We don't do things for God. We allow God to work through us. We become vessels available for his work. Now there are steps that we need to take to begin being God's miracle territory. And they're in this book, but I'm just going to summarize it for you. And the first one is, not even one of the things, praying, growing in your own faith with God. And when we want to be one of God's workers, we have to be open for interruptions in our schedule. Just like Bruce was open for an interruption, he wanted to do his book, but God had another plan. We have to be open to let go of what our plans are so that God can work through us. So the first thing we say is, Lord, I want to be your delivery person. Please send me. However that happens, whatever that means, show me what you would have me do, for I trust in you. And then you stay alert for God's direction. And remember that apart from the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. Now God gives us a nudge. Sometimes you'll be looking at a crowd of people and somebody will sort of stand out. And you'll think, huh. And they might look sad and they might just pique your attention. Sometimes God might give you, you really should call so-and-so. Sometimes you just never know, but suddenly you see a situation where there might be a need. So you pay attention to that, and you might look for an opening, and Bruce Wilkinson calls it the bump. You sort of bump into somebody. You say, is there anything I can do for you? Or how are you doing? Or are you struggling with something? And you listen to the Holy Spirit as you're with that person. You might say,